Here on WEAA 88.9. I'm Sean Yoes, your host. Thank you for joining us for our first of 2 hours on this Tuesday. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at First Edition 88.9. And don't forget to like and follow us on Facebook at First Edition on WEAA 88.9 FM. Go to WEAA.org on our homepage for the latest podcast of First Edition, or subscribe to our iTunes podcast, First Edition. Also, hit me up on my personal Twitter account. The tag is at Sean Yoes. That is my name, S-E-A-N-Y-O-E-S. Or go to my Facebook page. If you have information, insight, or breaking news you want to share with me, I'll share with the people unless you don't want me to. And, of course, I will not. Coming up in the second hour of the show, we will get a report on the latest news connected to the controversial State Senate project, including a conversation with Baltimore City Delegate Nick Mosby, among others. Plus, we'll talk to comedian Quincy Jones. He's getting ready to perform at the Creative Alliance this Friday. He has an amazing backstory. Looking forward to that conversation with Quincy Jones. Yes, and coming up a little bit later in this first hour, we're going to open the phone lines at 5:30. The number is 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888. We want to know what you all think about the sudden resignation of Dr. Dallas Dance, the CEO of the Baltimore County Public School System. He had just renewed his contract less than a year ago, and suddenly today he announced he was stepping down. No reason given, no job lined up, at least publicly he is not acknowledging that there is a job lined up. So it has a lot of people speculating why Dr. Dance decided to step down at this time. We seek answers on that issue by going to the phones and speaking with Kevin Parson. He's CEO of the Parsonian Educational Group and former Northeast Parent Advisory Council chairman under Dallas Dance. Kevin Parson, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Sean. How are you this afternoon?
I'm doing okay. Doing all right. We're also on the phone. We have Dr. Warren Heyman. He's a former assistant dean in the School of Education and Urban Studies at Morgan State University. I believe he was the first black to serve on the Baltimore County School Board and was part of the search committee that hired Dr. Dance in the first place. Dr. Heyman, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sean. Let me correct one statement you made. No, I was not the first African-American, nor was I on the school board when Dr. Dance was hired. I was there and chaired the search committee for Dr. Joe Harrison.
So you did not chair the search committee for Dr. Dance, or were not part of the search committee for Dr. Dance?
I was not a part of the board when he came aboard.
Okay, all right. But you were a member of the Baltimore County School Board?
Yes, I served on the school board for 11 years.
Okay, all right. And you were definitely a member of Morgan State University's faculty?
Yes.
All right, I got that. I got two out of three. So I'll take that. I'll take that. I'll take that.
How you doing, Dr. Heyman?
I'm doing well, and you?
Good.
So let's first of all talk about Dr. Dance. I remember when he came on board in 2012. I think there was some excitement surrounding his arrival. I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that he was the first black superintendent of Baltimore County Schools. Is that accurate?
That's not accurate.
That is not accurate.
Joe Harrison was the first African-American superintendent.
Of Baltimore County Schools?
Yes.
Yeah, and he served for about 12 years. Is that not correct, Doc?
Maybe 8 years.
Okay.
Dallas Dance was the second black superintendent of Baltimore County Schools.
That's correct.
All right. Got that right. All right. All right, but let's seriously. The reality is that his resignation has a lot of people wondering why, given the fact that he just renewed his contract, a contract that paid him, I think, $287,000 a year. He was responsible for managing $1.87 billion budget, 112,000 students in Baltimore County more than 18,000 employees. His last day is going to be June 30th. Again, like I said, he recently signed a four-year contract. What I've heard, gentlemen, on background, I'll say, is that from the beginning, that Dallas Dance was met with some resistance, inherent resistance to his leadership. And I think that there are insinuations that people have made to me about why. Let me ask you both about the atmosphere or culture, if you will, of the Baltimore County Public School System. You know, I don't know much about politics in Baltimore County. I just don't. I mean, I've been someone who's covered Baltimore City and the state and Annapolis, obviously, during my career as a journalist. But what I do know is about Baltimore County, and I know that it is in many sections of it, many regions of Baltimore County, rather conservative. Do you think, given your background and your experience with Dr. Dance and with the Baltimore County Public Schools, that conservative kind of those conservative regions, those conservative elements within Baltimore County may have been at the root of Dr. Dance maybe encountering some of the resistance that he may have encountered?
Well, I think that any superintendent, having been one myself, is always going to run into opposition to issues or decisions that one may try to get the board to approve. I think it's beyond our, I guess, call to try to speculate as to why he decided he was going to resign on June 30th. I think more importantly, though, is to what's going to happen next. It's like the last book that Martin Luther King Jr. wrote, Where Do We Go From Here? I also think there's some profoundly equity questions that need to be answered about Baltimore County Public Schools beyond the resignation of Dr. Dance. I must admit, I don't know him. I've seen him, but I haven't followed what he did or did not do. But I do know there are some issues in Baltimore County that need to be addressed. One of the issues that I always raised as a board member for 11 years is Baltimore County Public Schools is great for some kids, some students, and families, but not so great for others, particularly those who look like me. The recent 5- or 4-part series in the Baltimore Sun spoke to some of those issues, particularly looking at schools south of Route 40 and north of Route 40 and the inequities that exist. I think that it is not unusual for superintendents to leave. Dr. Alonzo left in the middle of his contract year. And usually the term of office for an urban superintendent is anywhere between 5 and 8 years, and Dr. Dance has served 5 years, and from my report card, I think he's done an outstanding job. I say that because he's tried to promote equity within the school system, which is very difficult. Baltimore County is made up of rural, urban, suburban communities. And so that is a tough group to try to bring together to agree on a number of things. And anytime you face a situation like he had to face and Dr. Harrison had to face it as well, you're always going to run into opposition, and there's always that conservative element. I think one of the issues that I've seen in my experience is the people appointed to the board by the governor, whoever that governor may be, and one, their lack of experience when it comes to education, curriculum, et cetera, et cetera. So you don't have that mix that can really respond to the issues that need to be responded to.
Understood. Understood, Dr. Heyman. Kevin Parson, let me ask you this. Given the fact that you did operate under Dr. Dance in the, as the Northeast Parent Advisory Council chairman, What is your take on Dr. Dance as a superintendent? I mean, how he operated. I mean, what do you?
Let me be very clear about my feelings about him. My daughter actually graduated from Overly High School, so that was my vested interest. I was there when Dr. Dance was invited. Coordinated, I should say, by the board. Went with Ronald Anthony Mills and Scott Phillips and I. We went to really welcome him and congratulate him and really wanted to work with him as community stakeholders and as a person who had a parent because of his transition coming in after Dr. Harrison. To answer your question, I saw him as a very visionary leader. When he first came, there was questions about his youthfulness. There was questions about he didn't have enough classroom teaching experience. But if you're around Dr. Dance, he is very articulate. He is very smart, and he's very savvy. I think one of the biggest legacies in his administration is the fact that he was able to bring technology through technological audit. He was able to streamline, which had not been done before, school board meetings. He was able to streamline town hall meetings with students. And I think that he had a very good connection with the young people. One of the other things I think I was very satisfied with in terms of his focus, because I was one who founded a school around educating African-American boys in Baltimore City with Dr. Gaddy and Cole Stokes, called Blue for Drew Jemison STEM Academy, he was able to really focus on closing the achievement gap for African-American boys in Baltimore County. Doc talks about it very eloquently, Dr. Heyman, when he talks about him trying to shift through this paradigm shift from equality to equity, which was a major piece that needed to be addressed in Baltimore County on several different levels. So I think Dr. Dance is a rising star. And of course, we can all speculate about his departure. Board relationships are very, very challenging. And I think Doc talked about the fact that there are some new appointees that came on under the appointmentship of Hogan. In many instances, superintendents leave because they can better deal and go somewhere else and recruit. They're recruited by other school districts. And of course, just regular non-contract renewal, we're going in a different direction. So we can speculate on many different levels. Nobody will really know why he is departing. But I think it is a tragic loss to Baltimore County because I think Dr. Dance is on the right path. I know that as Doc talked about, anytime you bring changes, a lot of times you are getting resistance and pushback. Particularly, you know, I know that he wanted to change the schedule in Hereford County school zone, which they kind of, and this Doc can talk because he was on the board, but while he was on the board, he would tell you, I would come sometimes to some of the board meetings. They kind of operated kind of like in their own little isolated world in some cases. They had a very special schedule set up, and he wanted to address that, and I know that was an issue. He often, you know, would say that we were building this plane while flying. Some did not like that, that terminology, you know, he was challenged on many different levels. But I think that, and then Doc, you can also address this. I think he was really looking to bring to life the blueprint, the Baltimore County blueprint, which became kind of the framework for how curriculum, instruction, climate, culture, safety, all those components that go into running a school district. And if you recall, Sean and Doc, his first day, he had a very challenging situation. I thought he addressed it extremely well. He met with the chief of police, who was Johnson at that time. They had their safety plan in place, and it was executed very well. So I think it's going to be a loss to Baltimore County. But again, as Doc talked about, what are the next steps? How are we going to look to transition someone in to either continue the legacy? A lot of times people come in, they try to shift the paradigm in a different direction. Right.
But hopefully somebody can continue his legacy and what he was looking to do.
When he, allegedly, from what I saw, there was a member of Baltimore County Council who had asked for his resignation. I didn't get a chance to look at that specific story, but it may have been connected to a tweet that Dallas Dance sent out connected to the last days of President Barack Obama. Can either of you shed some light on that?
He sort of copied a tweet that was sent out from, and maybe I'm mishandling what you were raising. He copied a tweet that was sent out, I think, from one of the other counties in reference to the transition from Barack Obama to Donald Trump.
Correct.
Is that what you're referring to?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And so there was some concern that he was creating division when there wasn't division. But as Kevin said, and Kevin is my fraternity brother, and we've been friends for years. I remember when his daughter was not even in high school. there's false assumption that Baltimore County is the ideal place to be.
Oh, wow.
And that these pockets of racism, sexism, etc., don't exist. Not here would be the response of those people living in the county. So there was some concern about that, and as Kevin pointed out, initially they were concerned about his youthfulness. They had to get a special resolution from the state board to even hire him because he didn't meet the qualifications. But he has disproved all of that in the action that he's taken. I think that the big issue here is that the false assumption about Baltimore County being an ideal place to live, to send your kids to school. My three children graduated from Woodlawn High School, so I'm very familiar with the county system. And it's a heavy load on you as a superintendent to try to juggle all these boxes. You've got to deal with the county exec, the county office who handles your budget or approves it or disapproves it. You have the various segments in terms of parent groups. One of my agonies when I was on the board is that the Southwest community, which I was a part of, was not really actively involved in the educational process. Ramona, a fellow school board, and I tried to organize the community and the church groups, et cetera, to say we need to do something about, again, what I call these profoundly equity questions that need to be raised and they need to be addressed. As Kevin said, I think Dr. Dance tried to raise these questions and not only raise them, but try to do something about them. And It's frustrating when you know things need to be done and you try to do them and then they don't get accomplished.
Well, let me ask you both, and we don't have a lot of
time.
Can I
answer the come behind that whole piece that you just raised?
That's fine. Go ahead, Kevin.
Because I think, and Doc talked about it, it was a retweet from someone from Montgomery County who said after post the election of Trump, because Trump was running a very divisive campaign, and all they were saying was when our students come back, make sure that we embrace the Muslim student, the Latino students, the Jewish students, those who are disabled, all those different groups,
right,
to make them feel welcome. So the pushback that Dallas was getting was from certain communities that were Trump supporters,
right,
who felt that it was a shot towards Trump. But really, I think it was taken out of context. The tweet was taken out of context. It was not in context. He was just saying, let's embrace all students. Let's not have this division run through our hallways in the schools, for the most part. And one of the things that Dallas was really looking to do was make his students very globally competitive, because he was talking about making foreign language a second language. Our world is shrinking. And so we are at a disadvantage when you have other students around the world who have to speak two and three languages. And our kids are disadvantaged, struggling in many instances learning English. And so, you know, it's an opportunity. It was an opportunity for him to push that. But a lot of people were naysayers about him trying to push that agenda around making our kids globally competitive through learning a second language.
And that was certainly, obviously, a visionary and pragmatic approach to the demographic shifts of this country and of this state, of course. But, I mean, specifically to that tweet, though, it seemed rather appropriate for Dallas Stans to have the response that he did, given what we saw across the country, especially in high schools and maybe even middle schools, where we had the level of intolerance rising significantly with the election of Donald Trump as the 45th president of the United States. So I think he would have been remiss if he hadn't addressed those issues head on.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree 100%.
Because as you said, that it was a high time where people were feeling a certain level of tension, not only in the schools, but just in the community in general. So I thought that it was taken out of context. It was not in context. And those people who were really giving him the pushback on that was the Trump supporters for the most part.
Right.
I'm sorry, Dr. Heyman.
No problem. And it's that conservative element within Baltimore County that's going to take advantage of every opportunity they can to try to discredit you. I can recall when Dr. Harrison was superintendent and you had this rule, if your school was low performing, then you had the option to attend a high performing school. Well, that's an option, a choice, but if you're not educated to the choice, you don't make it. But those parents who did make the choice, their children were ostracized in those schools. And some legislators in different parts of the county made it very clear to Dr. Harrison, we don't want any of those students to be transferred into our schools. So ultimately, what Dr. Harrison did, which I didn't approve of, he decided to take Title I out of the middle school. But again, it's that conservative element in Baltimore County that is really concerned about integrating their students, or I'd rather use the word desegregating, changing the laws so that there's some equity about it. Another thing that Dr. Dance promoted was his Office of Cultural Proficiency and Equity. Mm-hmm. And that staff has attempted to go into the schools and try to change the mindset of educators in those schools as to the need for them to think in terms of equity and cultural proficiency.
Right.
But I also want to point out that,
Dr. Heyman, can you hold on 1 second, because we're actually running out of time for the segment. So I'm going to ask both of you, if you would like to stay on for this next segment when we open the phone lines, I invite you both to stay with us and talk more about not just Dallas Dance, but the Baltimore County school system. Are y'all available to do that? Or
yeah, I am.
Yeah, I can hang around.
Okay,
yes,
then we'll keep you both on as we open up the phone lines. The number is 410-319-8888. We want to know what you all think about the sudden resignation of Dallas Dance, the CEO CEO of the Baltimore County Public Schools, the superintendent of the Baltimore County Public Schools. What do you think about his resignation? What do you think about what the impact will be on the Baltimore County Public School system? We're going to stay with Dr. Warren Heyman and Kevin Parson as we go into the next segment, but you're listening to First Edition. Welcome back to First Edition here on WEAA 88.9. I'm Sean Yoes, your host. We continue our conversation about the sudden resignation of Dr. Dallas Dance, Baltimore County Public Schools superintendent. We're happy that two of our guests have decided to remain with us at least for a little while longer. Dr. Warren Hayman is former assistant dean in the School of Education and Urban Studies at Morgan State University, and he was part of the search committee for Joe Harrison, I believe, who was actually the first superintendent, black superintendent of Baltimore County Schools. Dr. Hayman, thank you for hanging out with us. We appreciate it.
And thank you. I'm still here.
Yes, sir. And Kevin Parson is also still with us. He's CEO of the Parsonian Educational Group and former Northeast Parent Advisory Council chairman under Dallas Dance, veteran educator for many years in Baltimore City, was part of the team that bought Bluford Jameson Academy to life in East Baltimore as well. Kevin, thank you for sticking with us as well. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to open the phone lines. The number is 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888. What do you all think about the sudden resignation of Dallas Dance? I've received several messages offline and on background suggesting that Dallas Dance, and the only way that I can put it, did not receive all of the support that he needed internally. When it came to him being the superintendent of the Baltimore County Public Schools. And some of that lack of support may have been rooted in intolerance in certain pockets, if you will, in Baltimore County. That's the best way that I can put it. People were much more specific, but there's certain things that I simply can't corroborate as a journalist. But all I can do is outline, you know, kind of what the atmosphere that they are suggesting Dr. Dallas Dance was receiving in his role as superintendent of Baltimore County Public Schools. But let's go to the phone lines. People want to get into the conversation. Let's go to Hank first. He's been hanging on for a long time. Hank, in Baltimore, you're on First Edition. How you doing?
How you doing today, Mr. Yost, and distinguishing guests?
All right, brother.
You know me, Sean. I'm a conspiracy theorist type guy, right?
That's true.
What would make a man who's trying to make the school system work better, more functional, audited, more responsible for itself, all of a sudden have to sign a new contract, want to leave, unless he had pressure applied to him to want to leave? He doesn't have an option open. He's not going to Chicago. He's not going to any other school district. So my only conspiracy theory is somebody is applying pressure to him for something that he may or may not have done in his younger years that he wouldn't want to come to the light, right? Or somebody has something underneath the head where he's like, hey, look, you can either take this choice and go ahead and sign this piece of paper, say, all right, I'll see y'all later, or I'm going to air out all your dirty laundry. And that's just the way I see it, right?
Okay.
Because they got too much good stuff going on.
All right.
Why quit?
Okay. Hank, thank you for your thoughts. Obviously, we can't, none of that is corroborated or anything else. It's just speculation. But people are curious, obviously, about why Dallas Dance, after re-signing back up for another 4 years with Baltimore County rather recently, again, and for a salary of $287,000 a year, did decide actually to step down without any announced direction or reason for his resignation. But let's go back to the phone lines. The number is 410-319-8888. What do you think about the resignation of Dallas Dance as the Baltimore County Public School Superintendent? How will it impact the Baltimore County Public Schools? Let's go to Brother Leo Burroughs in Bolton Hill. Brother Burroughs, you're on First Edition. How you doing?
My friends, how are you?
Okay.
Well,
okay,
my speculation is quite clearly is that, you know, Brother Dallas Dance was young, gifted, and black. Very much so. And when you look back on the history of his coming to power, as it were, the question of his youthfulness continued to prevail. They wanted a seasoned old white man to run this system. I think they're going to try to get a seasoned old white man to run the Baltimore County system.
Well, Dallas Dance was the antithesis of a seasoned old white man.
But again, jealousy, resentment, hatred. Again, global competitiveness is something that Dallas Dance emphasized, and technological excellence, academic excellence, but in the technological realm.
I think I was agreeing with you, actually, Brother Burroughs. I simply was pointing out the fact that, you know, maybe they tried to be something other than they were and step outside of themselves, and once they realized what they had,
I get it, but, you know, yeah. Institutional racism is alive and well in America.
Oh, no doubt about that.
And with the leaving of office of Barack Obama, it just seems appropriate in this time and place with the coming of age of Donald the actor Trump that we throw back the country another 10 or 15 or 20 years and we do what we've always done, and that is snipe at black people who are qualified, supremely qualified to lead all of us, irrespective of race, creed, or culture.
Understood. Brother Burroughs, thank you so much, man. We appreciate it. Dr. Heyman, let me ask you, does Leo Burroughs' suggestion, his argument, resonate with you? I mean, the system has been used to a certain style of leadership, and maybe Dallas Dance coming in was a shock to the system, even though they're the ones who brought him in. I mean, it seems strange, but it may not be, actually.
Yeah, I was surprised that after Joe Harrison, given all we had to go through, to get him in, the hate letters that I got and emails that I received after he was appointed, that they chose Dallas. I agree with Brother Burroughs. I think that there has always been an effort to get him out because they didn't want him. He had too much going for him. But keep in mind, he's just one person in that wheel. Everybody else will probably be there unless the new person decides that they want to bring in their new cabinet. But some of those people have tenure and be in the position forever almost. But I think it's incumbent upon the community to participate in the selection of the next superintendent or CEO.
Right. Okay.
That's critical. Because if we don't render a voice, then what Brother Barrow said is actually going to be accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
That they're going to bring in who they want to bring in, and we at least need to be at the table in mm-hmm. order to express what we think is needed.
Kevin Parson, Kevin Parson, does that resonate with you?
Yeah, I agree with Doc, and I agree with Brother Burroughs wholeheartedly. I recall when Dallas came, as we talked about, they didn't like the fact that he was young. They really criticized the fact that he only had a couple of years of experience in the classroom, and as Doc pointed out, they had to get a waiver from the state. But if you recall, they were questioning about him with his consultancy.
Right.
And it was really nitpicking because it's something that all superintendents do. They act as consultants. He tried to elevate training, not only for teachers and principals, but also for bus drivers and cafeteria workers. A lot of times, change is just a big and hard pill to swallow. And what I've learned, and I've been very quickly, I've been a principal in Kansas, D.C., Philadelphia, and Baltimore. When I went to Kansas, it was interesting. What I find a lot of times is that, and I'm being very transparent with this, is that sometimes white folk question our leadership, and they just don't like black leadership for whatever reason. You could be credentialed, you could be proven, as Leo Burroughs pointed out, young, gifted, and black. The fact that you're black somehow is just not good enough in terms of leading them. And so when I think about the beginning and his inception of coming into the position, there were people who were just trying to pick him apart on every little thing.
I think that's what
at some particular point he wears you down.
And I think that was the general consensus that I received as I was talking to people who were familiar with the situation. But let me go back to the phone lines. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to First Edition here on WEAA 88.9. I'm Sean Yoes, your host. We're on the phone. My guests are Dr. Warren Heyman and Kevin Parson, both educators, both familiar with the Baltimore County Public Schools. We're talking about the sudden resignation of Baltimore County School Superintendent Dallas Dance. The announcement came today. But let's go back to the phones, 410-319-8888. Let's go to Dr. Morrison next. Dr. Morrison, you're on First Edition. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
All right, sir.
Terrific, sir.
Just for a little background, I've retired from Baltimore County Public Schools 4 years ago.
Okay.
And in my tenure in Baltimore County Public Schools, I served as a classroom teacher, department chair, assistant principal, ran an evening high school, And I was also the president of the Baltimore County Alliance of Black School Educators. And one thing I can tell you about Baltimore County Public Schools is that the bureaucracy has a life of its own. It's an organic living mechanism that speaks to continuous existence and the existence that it was founded on, which was not designed to help or to assist people who look like you and me.
Okay.
Having said that, Dr. Dance's tenure is far superior, in my opinion, to that of Dr. Harrison, but I'm going to compare those two. But in any case, what he was able to do in terms of the bureaucracy and the policies, he's done something that has really gone under the radar that many people haven't recognized, but it's something that will be in place long after he's gone. And that is that he has instituted a policy of equity, an equity policy within Baltimore County Public Schools, a board policy that the board and the school system has to enforce. So whoever's going to be in his place moving forward has to enforce that policy. And that policy is a good starting point to move forward.
Right.
But in terms of who we look forward to come in next, Dr. Dance picked up on Dr. Hairston's Blueprint for Progress. Dr. Dance developed Blueprint 2.0. Whoever comes in next, hopefully, will continue down that road. And there are people who are already in Baltimore County Public Schools, in the higher level administration, who can do that.
Dr. Marston, thank you for your call. We appreciate it. We have to keep moving, though. We don't have a lot of time, and a lot of people want to get into the conversation. Let's go to Nicole next in Towson. Nicole, you're on First Edition. How are you doing?
Thank you. Good afternoon to you, Sean, and your guests.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm just totally blown away. I loved the job that Dr. Dance was doing. He was such a visionary, and, you know, he had, to me, his finger on the pulse. I think that, you know, he wanted to move Baltimore County forward and advance all of its students in a way that would certainly propel us into the future and in such a positive way. And I felt that most of his ideas were met with a lot of resistance. I think that, you know, again, as your guests have pointed out, change was certainly not something that people in Baltimore County wanted to accept. And Dr. Dance, by all intents and purposes, was definitely, you know, a different superintendent. You know, he was young, he was black, he was definitely gifted, but he was an excellent superintendent, and I'm really going to miss him. I really hope that they will allow him to sort of, I'm not going to say train the next superintendent, but at least share his vision of what, you know, so I don't think they will, but I mean, it would be great if they allowed him to, you know, share his vision of what, you know, he felt Baltimore County needed. And then, of course, the next superintendent can make its own decision, but, you know, it would be awesome to have someone like him, you know, in that position.
Understood, Nicole. Thank you for calling. We appreciate you. Appreciate your insight. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Joanne next in Northeast Baltimore. Joanne, you're on First Edition.
Hi. Hi. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Well, it's a sad day for the people of Baltimore. What a terrific man. His intelligence to them, it doesn't matter because they are just seeing a black individual and they were not about to give him a chance. It's sad that it's just a racist act, I think.
Okay.
And that's all it is.
All right.
He was not allowed to do his job.
All right, Joanne, thank you for your insight. We appreciate your call. Let me go to Bernard next in Baltimore. Bernard, you're on First Edition. How you doing?
I'm the 79-year-old call all the time. I'm 80 now.
Okay.
But my thing is, I agree with Leo. And also, I think it's a replay of Obama. Like Obama said when he was first elected, he knew he was black. Then the second 4 years, you don't know what hotel they gave him. I think it's the same thing, it's the same scenario happening again. When he renewed his contract, and especially if he wanted to implement some new changes, in the second year, they didn't want, meaning, you know, the white establishment in Baltimore County, parents or what have you, didn't want a black man to implement those new changes.
Right.
So unless one caller said something happened, you know, some dirt came up and that they found out, but abruptly he resigned, And my other question, what has Kevin Matthews said? I mean, did he support him, or did he? Has he heard anything from the county executive?
Okay, Bernard, thank you for your questions and your comments. Kevin Kamenetz said he at least publicly says he regrets the fact that Dallas Dance has resigned. Let me ask you, though, both Dr. Warren Heyman and Kevin Parson. It's, to me, the comparison to Barack Obama is an interesting one. A young, energetic, charismatic black man. He also reminds me of another Maryland educator when he first kind of burst upon the scene, Freeman Hrabowski, the president of UMBC, kind of with that same energy. In my mind, I mean, I didn't know Dr. Dance very well, but that was one of the first things that kind of popped into my head. But the resistance in Baltimore County, I think we should not underestimate. And Dr. Heyman, you made it clear, Baltimore County is not this Shangri-La. I lived as a kid in Baltimore County, and trust and believe me, it is no Shangri-La when it comes to issues of race and culture and ethnicity. It is very conservative in some spots. And Dr. Dance, in my opinion, at least symbolically, is literally the antithesis of what a lot of people believe and what they want to cling to. And I use the word cling in Baltimore County. And I don't think we should underestimate that dynamic.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. As I said earlier, I was completely shocked that they would appoint another African American to be superintendent of Baltimore County Public Schools. I think the comparison between he and Freeman Hrabowski, who happens to be a friend of mine as well, we worked together at Coppin State University, is maybe a little stretched. Freeman is certainly intellectually more astute.
Oh, I hear what you're saying, but I mean, if you just look symbolically, if you look at them physically. That same energy is the thing that I think I'm talking about. I know Freeman Hrabowski is a brilliant, a giant intellectually and all of that. I get that. But I'm just saying, just when you look on the surface, you see these two dynamic kind of dashing younger black men and that kind of leadership style. I think that's kind of what I was getting at, Dr. Heyman.
Yeah, I agree. The styles are very similar. However, the environment is very different.
Oh, that's
true,
too.
Higher education
is
very different from public schools.
No
and
doubt.
As I pointed out earlier, You've got five areas in Baltimore County, and they're very diverse and very different in terms of what they think should happen and who they think should run and make the decisions.
Right.
The question raised earlier about the county exec, I think I heard him say he was not aware that Dr. Dance was going to resign.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the big issue, you know, the fact that it came as a surprise. And
mm-hmm.
But it should not have been a surprise when, if you know the makeup of the county and the county system, that, you know, again, I don't want to speculate on why he decided to do it at this particular point in time, but it's a very stressful position. Trust
Absolutely.
Me, I've been in it.
Right.
And so sometimes you just have to make a decision to do, you know, you've done maybe all you think you can do. But anyway, I'll leave it at that.
Fair enough. This is also what I would say. I mean, there has been no indication that incompetence would be connected to any reason why there could be pressure put on him to leave, given the fact, and I think it's right out there, given the fact that they renewed his contract just very recently. So I don't want people to believe or think that somehow we're putting the race ethnicity issue forward in lieu of the fact that there could have been some issues that the county had with Dallas Dance's ability to lead the system, because I don't think there was really much of a question, at least on the surface, that the county doubted that he had the ability, given what he did and the fact that they did renew his contract, that he had the ability to lead this very big system. That, I guess,
right.
That's what I'm making.
Yeah, I mean,
I agree.
It's clear
I don't think
he's very
there's a question about his ability.
Right.
I think
keep in mind, though, there was a struggle and there was some concern that his contract would be renewed. But here again, as I pointed out earlier, that comes with the territory.
Right.
And, you know, you have two positions. Either you, as a board, you micromanage, or either you rubber stamp. But the in-between piece is where you really want to be working together. And the only way you get that done is you put students first.
All right. Kevin Parson, let me bring you in these last couple of minutes. Go ahead, Kevin.
No, I just want to say, you know, Dallas had this saying, it's never the what, it is always the how. But today, we're really grappling with this piece in terms of why. And as you talked about, Sean, he's a very brilliant young man. As Doc talked about, sometimes the board can really get in the weeds. They get too down in the weeds. I'm just going to wish the brother good luck as he moves forward. He's a rising star. I'm sure we're going to hear about him. It's a very challenging position to be in, particularly when you have factions that are working against you and trying to undercut your vision. But I think that he's left an indelible mark of progress in Baltimore County, particularly around how he addressed assessments, how he addressed training, the blueprint 2.0 that somebody brought up earlier, and just the immersion of technology as well as foreign languages. I think, you know, he's the epitome of where we need to move towards in terms of education in the 21st century.
Let me take one more phone call real quick. Let me go to Jeff in Middle River. Jeff, you're on First Edition. How you doing?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
Yeah, I've been working for the county in transportation for, 17 years. Okay. And I have felt that Triple D, he didn't show me that much concern. And I've been working with special needs people, including my own granddaughter,
okay,
for 40 years. And I worked in healthcare before I went with the special needs school buses for, okay, the last, like I said, 17 years.
Yes, sir.
And I felt like, well, listening to you guys, I agree with a lot of stuff. And I just was wondering, so this is a question. Did he sign an extension of his contract, or was it a new contract in, like, March or February?
I think it was February.
Okay. He signed a new contract for another 5 years.
Yeah, it was a new contract.
Yeah, 4 years, I think it was. Yeah.
And I think he's been here 5 years, and then I was here with Dr. Hairston. And then before him, there was another guy that everybody disliked. It was, I don't want to say who he was. I don't remember his name, but
I know
exactly who you're talking about.
What was that name?
I can't remember his name either, but I know exactly who you're talking about.
He brought in the concept of inclusion.
In fact, people came on the board just for the purpose of getting rid of that person you're talking about.
Okay. All right, Jeff in Middle River, thank you for calling. We appreciate it. And we are actually out of time. I want to thank both of my guests, Dr. Warren C. Heyman, former assistant dean in the School of Education and Urban Studies at Morgan State University, was on the search committee for Dr. Harrison, who formerly was the superintendent of Baltimore County Public Schools. Dr. Heyman, thank you for joining us. We appreciate your time.
My pleasure.
And Kevin Parson, CEO of Parsonian Educational Group and former Northeast Parent Advisory Council chairman under Dallas Dance. Kevin, thank you, man. We appreciate your time.
Thank you very much, Sean. Take care, guys.
All right.
Okay, do the same, Kevin.
We're going to take a quick break, but the second hour of First Edition is coming up. We will have a report on the latest news connected to the controversial State Senate project rule, including a conversation with Baltimore City Delegate Nick Mosby, among others. Stay tuned. You're listening to First Edition.